This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
God has an expectation. God has a plan to see His expectation met. But a generation must come in alignment. And we say yes to Jesus. Ibarasia tabo. Meka baba kamande kaidatos. We will hold nothing, Jesus. You want a generation. We offer you one. Let the waitings come to an end.
They bring in a subject that has no relevance to the state of things, and saying that there's no such reality as divine frivolity. Every time God brings new knowledge, it is because that knowledge is needed. So I am saying that the last two introductions in verse 26 by Jesus the Christ as to the ministry of the Holy Spirit being a teaching spirit and the spirit of our remembrance is key, because Jesus is about to introduce a facility of God that thrives on your ability to understand, which is the end of teaching, and your ability to remember. Next verse. What is this facility? So Jesus says, peace I leave with you. In a nutshell, peace thrives on the ability to understand, and two, the ability to remember what has been said to you. I grew up with very strong verses of scriptures. Our parents prayed verses over us, like, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And I have fleshed out the concept of that weapon, because the average believer feels that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper has to do with the projections of a witch or a wizard or sorcery, necromancy, and all those things. But many years ago, I was in a church, and I was minding my business. It's a short story. I was minding my business after service. I led the song that day. It was one of the first few songs that I led. And somebody felt, Kai, this guy can sing. And there was no lady hanging around him. So the lady came to me and introduced her name. She may be listening, so I don't want to go into the details. But she told me her name, and I told her my name. Can I have your numbers? I have sincere problems, and I want you to deal with it. And I was wondering, I'm a choir boy. Said, no, sir, you are more mature than us spiritually. I don't know the index. But I obliged. She was going to give me a number, and I said, no. I don't collect numbers from ladies. It's simple. I think that a lady should be able to exhibit control. When I see a lady who easily gives out her number, I know something is wrong. Because you should be able to bar the male factor from coming into your space. You only allow them when you think you should allow them. Those are the things I look for. So that if a man approaches you, he says, but I want to be talking to you, what you should tell him is, give me your number. So that you only connect with him when you have instructions to connect. It won't be this emotional thing that brought the brother to you. Are you with me? May God help our sisters. There's what a real man looks for in a lady. Unfortunately, when ladies are trying to navigate into what a real man looks for, they ask other ladies. They don't ask real men. When they ask males, they ask boys. That's sister's unit material. Jibola, are you hearing me? So, I gave her my number. Let me give you. That was a red flag. No, you shouldn't be that common. You should be able to control yourself. Anyways, I had another person I was mentoring who was very sickly. And I began to use my graces in health for people to superimpose it. I had quite a lot of friends. I was everybody's friend. Until one night, I was called to a meeting. The meeting was that in that choir group, they said I was in a relationship with about 6 people. So, one of them was this lady that I gave my number. Her proof of relationship was that she had my number. So, I even gave me his number. Unknown to me, she didn't have a problem. The reason why she came was that she saw that I was a free person and then she wanted to trust God to make something happen. And she went to a school of positive speaking. In the school of positive speaking, you say it and then you get it. In the school of faith, you believe it first before you say it. You see, it's an inversion. I had this other one who was my sister, like a kid sister. She didn't even have plans for a relationship, and both of us knew, so there was nothing going on. But they mentioned her name too. And I had another kid sister that I used to call Aburo. Some people know her. And Aburo didn't come for that meeting because if she had come, she would have scattered the chin. She's like a Funke Akindele. So they didn't invite her, even though her name was there. So I was three. Then there was this one that I was covering in health. Now one day I was sick, and he came and said to God that, Lord, you can take from the life in me and cover this one. And that's a big statement. It means that he's interested. So there was another one that I saw on the road that was going to make her hair. And the way to make her hair is on the way to my house. So I said, don't walk alone. Let's walk together. So that one knows that they used to call me Pastor T. But does he not even know the full T? So I said, what's the T? I said, maybe Tola. You may be Tola, but you are in a relationship with Tola. What do I do for a living? She doesn't know. That one doesn't even have my phone number. But we're in a relationship. So I sensed that the enemy was trying to subvert me. And I began to search. And my search didn't take me into the realm of the spirit. It took me into the space of a handmaid. She was the vehicle of that was propagating this scandal. So a lot of people said, you are finished. But one of the things that secured me, and that's where I'm going. In the midst of that thing, I was suspended from the choral group for about 6 months. And they warned me sternly that if I stop coming, I will never sing there again. So I was going for every choir meeting. But they will not allow me lead prayers to their own detriment. They didn't allow me share from scriptures to their own detriment. Yes, now I was still reading my Bible. And I was still getting revelation. It's them that cannot hear it. Until one Sunday, I met that lady confessing to somebody that it was she, God, that was interested. But she decided to, because she could not get to me, she decided to spoil my name. And I laughed. What I did was to quote that verse that I had read since I was small. That no weapon, not even the words of men, can bring me down. I have survived too many scandals for a lifetime. If you know my story, you know. I'm standing because there is a spirit of my remembrance who keeps telling me that no man made you. That's why I didn't manipulate myself into anything I'm doing. And because not a man made you, a man cannot unmake you. My greatness, if there is anything like that, is premised on the words of God to my father Abraham. I will bless you. So everything I have as an endowment is from God. I will make your name great and you shall be a blessing. And God leaves a caveat that in case some people want to reverse what I have done, I will reverse them. That's how the Holy Ghost functions. So while all that thing was going on, this boy had peace. And you see, he angered people the more. I was not afraid. There was one relationship I was trying to enter that time. True. And the person got angry. It's the person's loss now. I celebrate people, but all people are not the same. If you were supposed to marry Bishop Oyedepo, and you said this boy that has nothing. You know, you can still marry in the kingdom. In the kingdom in Nigeria, there are not many people that like Bishop Oyedepo. Sometimes, when you still hear this week, you will still say, it will have been meal. You know Jibola? Yes. Well, God bless the person where the person is. But what I'm saying is, the Holy Spirit administers peace. First, what he did was to educate me, bring me into the understanding of what no weapon means. Because some people know that witches, when witches come after them, they are immune to the attack of witches. But when something happens on the social media, they are afraid. Because they don't know that media weapons are inside no weapon. So he first brings to you understanding. One of the reasons why we are not afraid of the future of Nigeria is that there are common scriptures. And when I say common, I don't mean of no value. I mean there are day-to-day scriptures that we have received that make us understand that as long as there is a church in this nation, no matter how small that church is, I don't mean black people going to church. I mean as long as there is a remnant in this nation, the nation can't go down. Because the remnant is the security of the nation. Somebody sent Isaiah chapter 3 to me. That it looks as if this is what is happening in Nigeria. You know, the Bible says that when God takes away the stay of bread and the stay of water, that's what is causing the scarcity in Nigeria. I said, continue reading. You'll find out that there's a list of functionaries, about 8 or 10 of them. And if you look at the Nigerian experiment, we are not lacking functionaries. The corny artificer, the judge, the prudent. You see, there may not be many, but as long as they are around, it means that a day of recovery will come. When God wants to destroy indefinitely, he doesn't touch things. He takes away a kind of man. So we know that our faith will not be like Sodom and Gomorrah. We know. No matter what is happening now, we know how it will end. And that's what I came to say to you yesterday. That the fate of a waiting man has been predicted. He will only mount up with wings as eagles. He will operate with renewed strength. He will begin to do the supernatural naturally, and he will do the natural supernaturally. That's the fate of a waiting man. And God will ensure that it is so that scriptures will not be broken. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you." On the second hand, he said, "My peace I give unto you." What it means is that in the community of disciples, there are essentially two administrations of peace. There is the peace that is left, and there is the peace that is possessed, or the peace that is given. Emmanuel, let's do this thing again. Come. Because I drove for a journey, like I said. It was on my journey, I was meditating. I didn't play any sound, nothing. It was just me and the Holy Ghost. I want to know what you are doing, or what you did in John 14:24. Because we want to know what to do to our nation. So I'm Jesus. I have to be Jesus. You are the disciples. So, give me my verse of scripture. We have seen ourselves before. Peace I leave with you. If you understand the disparity in spiritual understanding between the disciples and Jesus, if Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you," what kind of peace do you think they will understand? Because we must enter into their minds. He said it in a way that they will understand. If I come to you, Emmanuel, and I say, "Have peace," what will first come to your mind? What dimension of peace? Spiritual or physical? Eh? I can't hear you now. Physical. Their concept of peace was environmental. So Jesus is saying your environment will be peaceful. That's what he was saying to them. But to make them understand that beyond that, with functions in the environment, he goes ahead to say again, "My peace I give unto you." There is something that will be a territorial experience, but there will also be another dimension, a deeper dimension of peace that will be a possession. So that if it scatters here, as long as here is in place, we can correct here. Sit down. Jesus demonstrated this teaching because they were at sea and the wind suddenly became boisterous. The waves started to roll. The water began to pour into the boat. What was Jesus doing? Was his surrounding peaceful? No. But why was he sleeping? He was sleeping on the strength of possessed peace. My peace. So what he did when he rose up, the disciples were afraid. Ah, you don't even have faith. And then he looked and said, peace be still. What he did was to administer possessed peace on a troubling environment. Are you with me? And then the disciples began to experience that which was environmental. But in this case, he was bringing them into the ways and not the acts. That the way of a man of peace is that he's a merchant. If you count the things that he has peace inside him. And I've come to announce that before our nation begins to experience peace, the church must possess it. You can't give what you don't have. Are you at peace? If everybody is afraid, then it means that our nation will not have peace. Because peace doesn't jump down from heaven. A possessor must give it. So Jesus is saying he's going to be calm. You have seen me calm things before. But now I want to also give you as a possession. My peace I give unto you. And Jesus said, it is not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. And so he continues to speak so that he will establish how that peace operates. What did he say to them? He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A heart that is troubled and afraid is a heart that does not have peace. If what the church markets is fear, say that's not going to kill all of us now. If that's what we are saying, then our nation will not change. It means we don't have peace. We cannot give peace. The Lord said to me this morning, he said, son, there are things a Christian must not say. There are things that a Christian must not say. We have said too many things that Christians should not say. And we have given potency to certain realities in our surroundings. Jesus didn't come to gist about the boisterous nature of the wind. He simply commanded it. If you have faith as a mustard seed, what will you do? Thou shalt speak of the mountain to the mountain. It means the man of faith is not a narrator. The man of faith is a commander. Are you getting my point? So, Jesus said, peace, I live with you. There is a state of calmness that I have experienced, and I'm going to go deeper on that definition shortly. There is a state of calmness that I have expressed. Continue in it. But if it scatters, regulate it. Because now you have a possession. The Lord said to me this morning, and what he said is what I'm going to say. He said, son, there is a call. He used the word summon. There is a summon in the spirit for the emergence of peace merchants. That's what he said. And I'm not going to doctor it. I was driving through Tewuri when I heard the word peace merchants. And what I do when I'm driving like that, I can't stop to type. The notepad on my phone has a voice to text function. So all I need to do is just hold long enough and speak to it, and it writes by itself. There is a call for peace merchants, people who will labor first into the possession so that everywhere they go, they can regulate things. If you are your heart is troubled and you are afraid, you cannot administer peace. Peace is not an abstract reality. It has tangible expressions where it is possessed. If the brothers know this one, if before Jesus started helping you, you had one trouser, and that trouser, the zip is bad. You know, when your zip is bad, there are many solutions. Go to the tailor, change the zip. You can also become a tailor yourself. If you know, you know. You just need to stitch across, stitch across, stitch across. So the zip can't go down again. It just hangs. At some people will even stitch that whole place back. Just hold like that. See, so I know where some of you are. They'll just stitch the zip permanently. So they wear the trouser like sportwear. You know, normal sportwear does not have zip. They just put their legs, struggle, pull it up, and then they are good to go. Well, if you stitch like that, and you stitch in the night, you thought that the rope, the, what do they call that? The thread was black. And you stitch blue thread. So that you wake up on a Sunday morning, I'm just trying to use the things that you understand. You wake up on a Sunday morning, and brother, believe, it's your turn to lead praise and worship. So you stand and to lift up your hands, and all of a sudden, maybe you are using something like this. You know, if you look at this thing, you see yourself and you see blue. You know, even though you are full of confidence, your confidence will be deflated. You'll be dancing sideways. So if you now say, I'm confident, the sight, the information that you have, that when people are looking, they are not fixing their eyes on Jesus, they are wondering how blue is fellowshipping with black. It happens to ladies too, that they just saw their skirt and it's a black skirt, but there are green stitches there. Maybe I should also say that because you love Jesus, you should carry yourself like a princess. Can brothers echo it? Carry yourself like a princess. Don't use green thread. There are things that real men look at. Go through the pain of looking for black thread. Because you want to be accosted as someone who is serious. I'm not saying go to a tailor. Look for somebody that has black thread. The two most common colors of thread are black and white. Don't also use white thread to sew black skirt. We don't like it when we see it. We know you are royalty, but we see you differently. A real man doesn't look for strange things around a lady. He looks for those fine things. He doesn't want to see green or red skirt. If you appear like that as a lady too, you will lose confidence. So if you claim you are confident, there is a tangible expression of confidence. The man who claims that he has peace does not need to labor too far to convince us. If his heart is troubled and is afraid, he does not have peace. What it simply means is that there are things that he does not understand, and there are things that he has been told that he has forgotten. That's why the man of peace becomes cheaply is a tool of the prophetic, because he has knowledge. And sometimes when he's prophesying, it's not saying new things. It's just recovering promises. Because God said that this is your faith, O nation. This is what you are. He remembers by the Holy Spirit even things that he has not read that God said. Because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of remembrance. Some years ago, where is Timilayin, were you around? Okay, it was your set now. When I was announcing that that every square meter of your campus, yes, was dedicated an altar of prayer. You remember the chaplain came up. He said the utterances that I brought forth was a 30-year-old utterance. God had told them when they were like 100 level students just gathering to do. You know, Timilayin was JCCL sister squad for footer. And that's why me and this woman of God met ourselves. They gave me good food and I came. And our friendship stayed. Because if you feed me well, I'm your friend. Mm-hmm. And now, it's not common to feed people well. When you go for JCCF meet. But they took care of me. It was a lot of honor. And Jesus has extended our fellowship. Can you please help me celebrate? She's doing a good job there. Thank you so much. So, there are two things that our nation must be brought into the fellowship of. A state of peace, which is environmental, and the possession of peace. So, the first thing we will do like Jesus is to decree peace and gift and leave peace with our nation. But we know that there's an adversary of peace. The enemy will come ultimately. So we will now build structures. It might be in church life. Structures of possession. That when it scatters, there will still be somebody to say, peace be still. That's where we're going. But it won't be because we prophesied peace. It will be because the administrators understand the agenda of God and the indestructibility of divine agenda, that Nigeria is not one of those nations that was designed to be dominated by darkness, that our destiny is stronger than our adversary, our ordination is from the very heart of God, that the plans of that define our expression as a nation was not because certain men had a meeting. It was older than 1914. Everything that happened that put together our nationhood was following a script. And even this interruption in the fulfillment of God's agenda for us that we are going through is not our end. It was for those that he had foreknown that he predestinated conformity to the image of the Son. There's a principle that is locked there, that God does not speak ordinations until he has perfected it. Are you with me? I know there are a lot of suppositions of what suppose, ifs, what if, including all of those things that you want to say. I am saying that our end has been set. So Nigeria as a nation is not in a journey into a place that is unknown. We are actually just growing into our ordination. By this nation, the last day spirit, the end time, essence of God in reviving the other nations will still be fulfilled. We understand that dimension of the workings of God, and we did not forget the things that were said. That a season will come when we will become the hub for corruption. But just like we entered into that shape, we will also enter into a day of change. And in that day of change, we will pioneer righteousness on a new level. We will not watch that event from heaven. We will experience it here. In the name of Jesus. So let me just speak of peace a little, and then we can run. I wrote down some things on that trip. So I said, what is peace? First, I want to address peace as a product. So I said, peace is that which is produced from the consciousness of the love and the presence of the Father. What it means is that no man can truly have peace where the fatherhood of God is not known. So whatever a non-believer claims to have, I'm not afraid. My heart is not troubled. It's circumstantial. Very soon, he will block something that will make him afraid. Yoruba say that if you get to a fear zone or a place of fear, you'll be afraid. I'm bold. When you are just walking in the night and you see a ghost, you see a floating man, a headless floating man, you'll be afraid. Even if it's a dead relative, your grandfather comes and says, "Mayawa, how far now?" You say, "I'm fine, Abby." But some people have heard "Mayawa," and they've looked at him and said, "Oga, you don't belong here. There's no gate that connects me to you. Be gone." And that's the end of it. That man is at peace. You know why people run from ghosts? I'm wondering, is it that they didn't go to school? The ghost didn't walk to you, it appeared. And you're running from something that appeared. A man who does not have peace is a man that is void of understanding. The man who is at peace understands that peace is produced from the consciousness of the love of the Father and the presence of the Father. How does the love of the Father sustain consciousness? One, he said, his love will not make him lie to me. Has God promised us anything as a nation? Love will not tell lies. Because love does not give false hope. Yes, it's not the way of love. So the one who is conscious, I was sharing at home this morning with my parents. I said to them, I said, we must stay more in scriptures. God has cornered himself by giving us the Bible. We are not trying to corner God. He has cornered himself. We may doubt the things that we feel, but we should not doubt the things that he said. So, if we sense a storm, how to create a hiding place is to build with the stones of the speakings of God. If it scatters today in Nigeria, how to create a stronghold is to go back into scriptures, to go back into prophecy and find the things that he said. If he was the one that said them, he said it out of a place of love with the intentions to do the things that he said that we do. For God is not a man that he should lie. There is no scripture that is open-ended in this wise. There is no situation that can undo the integrity of God's word. It can look in the beginning that is happening like that, but we know how it will end. The word will always prevail. And I think it's a good time to announce to our nation that when God wants to help you, he gives you promises. And his promises become your prophecies. So it's a time to go back and open our books. Like that old song, he says, do not doubt in the dark what you were told in the light. For the one who has called you has never failed at all. It's some of our brothers across the Niger were the ones that sang that song. He said, do not doubt in the dark what you are told in the light. For the one who has called you has never failed at all. God speaks in the light when it's fine. So that John, there are some things that God is saying to you. You are not going through any troubles, I'm just saying. And then he comes to say, I will sustain you in the day of adversity. And you are wondering, is it God that is saying it to me? It's because if he tells you in the season of adversity, you can't hear it. So some of us have been interceding for the nation for many years. And when it was not bad, we have books. This will happen. The church in Nigeria can be swallowed. I've seen people say, okay, that there was a, you read those things. There was a church in Nigeria. This is not Algeria. With all respect to Algeria, this is not a place where the church will be swallowed. I came announcing on Sunday. I used Genesis 49 to show that in the house of Jacob, no two tribes were alike. No two nations are alike. I think it should be Acts chapter 27 or 28 that the apostles were declaring. Let me look for that verse of scripture. There was something they said about the divine reputation as regards nations. Help me, Holy Ghost. Okay, Acts 17:26. Give me that verse of scripture. There's something I saw there. Acts 17:26. Quickly. Because we need to start praying very soon. Give me from 25. Okay, let's do 23 so that it makes sense. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorant worship, him declare I unto you. Then he began deceiving. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, 26, and had made of one blood, it means we started from the same point, all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the times, the seasons of all of them before appointed, and the bounds of their habitations. It means that there can be a nation that is reigning now. It's because it's the time of that nation to reign. The times of all of these nations have been determined. First to reign. It's not the last to reign. You know, some people feel this person is shining now, not shining again. Shine your shine. When it is time to shine, I will shine my own. It's not easy for rancor. Beyond determining their appointed seasons. The word appointed there, you also understand that when God was speaking concerning his grief about man, that's in Genesis chapter 6, if I'm right. It says, my spirit shall no longer strive with man. It meant that before God cleared up everything, there was a way that God used to secure meetings with men. He will come to solution and say, I want to meet with you. Solution, I want to meet with you. Solution, I want to meet with you. That's strife. He picks up a fight to engage. But he said that, I won't do that again. It was a change of technology that was announced. He says his day shall be 120 years. And I've explained that the subject was not how long he will live, it was how he will relate. 120 is the number of divine appointment. So God only sets appointments. He said, Tim Lane, meet me in prayer. And then he walks. You cannot be out of prayer and meeting. Are you with me? So you can say, sing. You want to pray, but sing. You will not find him in your prayer. So he just gives you its terms and then the man comes to it. It also means that, give me my scripture. Give me my scripture. And had determined the times before appointed. It also makes us know that, you see, every nation's case file comes before God at specific times. So the reason why we're asking for Nigeria is because we perceive that our cycle has been fulfilled and we are ripe for an invasion. Ask for the rain. Zechariah 10:1. Not in the time of the former rain. It means the former rain rains without provocation. asks for the rain in the time of the latter rain, and then the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. It must be in that time. So one of the things that undergirds our labors in prayer is that we know that our file has come before God. One thing about that care, bam, about that care. Thing about sorrow, about you, ti kanyana, can help him. You can't bring up your issue before it is time appointed to bring up your issue. So we need men who understand timings. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for thee. So God rise, God rise, God rise. It's time based. So God may have risen for Kenya and enthroned their social media president. Because that thing that happened in Kenya is a parable. He's only popular on social media. He's only popular on social media. Where is the new president? So he's also popular on social media. May God give you understanding. But it's a sequence. It's time based. Is time based. He also determined the boundaries of their habitation. When we speak of habitations, we speak not just of a place of residence, but a place of reality. It means the reality of each of the nations was carefully cut out by God. There are no two nations alike. You can't compare South Africa to Nigeria. We are two strange nations. Our the nations are different. Our times of visitation and seasons of solution are separate. I wrote in one of my excerpts that China is a world power, economic warfare. US is a world power, economic warfare. Nigeria is not an economic world power, so you cannot judge our performance economically. Nigeria is not a world power military wise, so you cannot judge our relevance or our success rate based on the Nigeria is a spiritual world power. That's what was given to us. Are you with me? You can judge. Let the nations lay out their strong men. Let's bring Nigeria's strong men. The nations bow to our strong men. Daddy Gio, for example, everybody calls Daddy Gio daddy. Yes, so is everybody's daddy. Every strong man in every nation calls him that is everybody's daddy. Everybody comes to altar, and I mean everybody. I've seen ministers who have broken grounds in nations come to altar, and they are like, what? In Africa, in Nigeria, what Papa Oyedepo is doing by faith, it's not done in any place in the world. That's what spiritual world powers look like. To show that Nigeria is a spiritual world power, we are the only country that can be going through what we are going through now. We have not started a civil war. Only once in the world. What happened in Sri Lanka? Bomb entered their presidential palace. People even snapped inside the president's room. That were now in your room. Bolt up the house, the man ran away and resigned where he went to. What we've been experiencing is a genocide of some sort. Tribes killing tribes. But the nation is still one nation. We still play football. We still run. People go to school. People still do concerts. Even in the Abuja where they blow things, they will still party this weekend. It's as though the average Nigerian just believes nothing spoiled. Just continue living your life. If you get to the motor park, on top of all the kidnappings, do you know the number of people that travel every day? So people even pray to enter the car. There is a hand that is upon our nation. And the call this evening is to give instruction to the hand. The hand has been waiting for an instruction. I want to install something that will quench what the enemy is doing. But you must find it. And I believe one of the things we need is peace.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.